Today on Family Talk.
Well, greetings, everyone. You're tuned in to Family Talk, the radio ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Dr. James Dobson, your host for the daily broadcast, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today. For over 40 years, I've been coming to you over the airwaves about issues facing the family. I saw the erosion of this sacred institution back in 1977, and I was so burdened to do something about it. Now, more than 9,000 programs later, our broadcasts are still intended to inform and encourage parents living in the 21st century. Well, today I want you to hear the second part of an incredible testimony from my good friend, Pastor Greg Laurie. He's an accomplished author and speaker and evangelist, and he's a senior pastor at Harvest Christian Fellowship. As I said yesterday, I have profound love and respect for this man and his wife, Kathy, and the incredible ministry the Lord has given them. Greg grew up under awful circumstances during his childhood and teenage years. And we're going to pick up where we left off last time, as Greg is going to tell us how he was delivered from a rebellious lifestyle and into a righteous walk with God. As we begin, we're going to roll back just a little bit to give you a running start on this story, which I know is going to touch your heart. Here again is Pastor Greg Laurie on this edition of Family Talk.
Out in the front lawn, as they always would do, there were the Christians singing their little songs about God. They'd have a beat-up little acoustic guitar, and their songs had about three chords. All of them had three chords, G, C, D, E minor too, four chords, you know. And they would sing their little songs about God and close their eyes and lift up their hands, and I would watch them and say, they're just so weird. But okay, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to just kind of check this out. I'm going to find out why I don't like this, why it's wrong, so I have to no longer be bugged by it any longer. So I sat down. Now, I'm far enough away where people won't think I've joined up with them, because that's social suicide. But I'm close enough where I can hear what's being said. I'm watching them. I'm looking around as they're singing. And one of the guys there, I used to know from elementary school, I used to get loaded with him, as a matter of fact. And he's a Jesus freak now. I know he's not that weird. In fact, he's a pretty good guy. Wow, he's one of them. Then a guy stands up and opens up the Bible, and he looks like he walked out of the pages of the Bible himself. He has hair parted down the middle, a long beard, kind of these flowing type sleeves, and he's giving a message from the Bible, and I'm like, whoa, what is this? And for the first time, it connected. Now listen, I'd heard the gospel before, but for some reason, and it's really just God's timing, it made sense to me. And the one thing I remember him saying was, Jesus said, you're either for me or against me, you're with me or you're opposed to me. And I thought, well, I'm definitely not one of these Christians. Does that mean I'm against them? Then I thought, I don't want to be against Jesus. I've always believed in him. I've just never known that much about him. And this guy, Lonnie, who was speaking, said, you can accept Christ right now. Just get up and walk forward. And some kids get up and walk forward. And I thought, there's no way I'm going to do that. Next thing I know, I'm up there with the kids. And I remember I didn't feel anything really emotionally. In fact, a person on one side of me was laughing with joy. A person on another side was weeping with sorrow. And I felt nothing. I thought, it figures, God said no to me. But I do remember one thing. Right after I prayed that prayer, that girl that I was interested in, she came up and threw her arms around me and said, God bless you, brother. And I said, Christianity is good. But what now? Am I going to become a Jesus freak? Now I'm going to become a Christian? Everyone laughs at Christians. So I thought, I'm just going to kind of do this thing on my own. I'll kind of be like a solo Christian, I thought. I need to be by myself. Because I was thinking about what I'd done. I'd prayed this prayer, but I didn't know what it meant. See, no one came up to me and said, Greg, now that you've prayed this prayer, you need to start reading the Bible and going to church. No one said anything to me. The school bell rang and I went back to class. That's all. So I'm out there in the woods walking around. I did take a little pipe with me, a little bag of marijuana. I was going to smoke it and sort of, you know, groove on nature and think about God. And I was sitting on a rock and I was packing my little pipe up. And That same still small voice that I'd heard just hours before lunchtime on my high school spoke to me again. And it wasn't audible, but I heard, I believe, the Lord say to me, "You don't need that anymore." I said, "All right, God, I'll make you a deal. I'm cynical, I'm hard, I'm having a hard time believing all this, but if you're real, you're going to have to make yourself real to me, okay?" So I took that pipe and I pitched it and I took that marijuana and I dumped it and turned my back on it and never looked back again. So now it's back at school, it's Monday, and I think, all right, I'm going to go to a Jesus freak meeting. And I was having a really hard time figuring it out, deciphering the language of Christians. So I thought, I don't know if I'm going to make this, really. I don't know if this is going to work for me. And I remember I was walking, along the campus and still sort of in that little in-between spot. And some guy who had recognized me from one of the meetings yells out to me across the lawn, "Brother Greg!" I'm like, "Oh, gee, don't. Brother Greg! Hey, how you doing? Bro! Yeah!" He hugs me. I'm like, "Oh." Yeah, and he goes, "Bro, yes, I got something for you." He's a really loud guy, you know. "And what's that?" "I got you a Bible." And he holds up, it's not a nice looking Bible like the one I'm holding in my hands. This is like a really big Bible, and it was this really distressed kind of leather, but it had popsicle sticks glued together in the shape of a cross. Oh, come on. "Bro, it's the Word of God, read it." "Right." So I take the Bible. I had a jacket and I shoved this Bible as deep into the pocket as I could. I thought, I've got to hide this thing somewhere. I'm not carrying this publicly. So I hadn't gone to visit my friends for a long time. I went over to one of their homes that we'd usually go to every lunchtime. We get loaded at lunchtime and go back to class. And I went over there and they hadn't seen me for a while. And I go up to this guy's house. I've got this big old Bible in my pocket. I thought, I can't walk in with this. So there was a planter out front. So I took my Bible out, kind of looked, put it in the plants, hit it. I was a really bold witness for Christ, you know. So I walked in this room and my friend said, "Greg, how you been?" I said, "I've been fine." "So Greg, you want to get loaded?" "No." "Come on, man, let's get loaded." "No, I don't want to do that." "Why not?" "I just don't want to get loaded." All of a sudden, the front door opens up. My friend's mom walks in and she's holding my Bible with a popsicle sticks. "I found this in the bushes. Who does this belong to?" I said, "That's mine." So I reach out and take it. They say, "What is that?" "It's a Bible." "A what?" "It's a Bible." "A what?" "It's a Bible. A Bible." Grab it. One of my friends said, "Oh, praise the Lord, Brother Greg." "Are we going to be a Christian now?" I said, "No, what we're going to do is punch you in the mouth. What do you think about that?" I hadn't read 1 Corinthians 13 yet, you see. I just hid the Bible. I didn't read it. So they started to mock me and give me a hard time and harass me. And I thought, well, isn't this interesting? These are my buddies, man. Hey, you know what? I thought, maybe there's more to this than I realized. And I thought, I don't want this life anymore. I'm done with this. So I started going to the Christian meetings, and I didn't even know about church. This is how crazy it was. So a guy comes up to me. I've never met him before. At school the next day, his name is Mark. He goes, "I want you to go to church with me." And I said, "Well, what, where?" And he goes, "It's a place called Calvary Chapel." "Well, I don't know. I can't go." He goes, "No, you're coming. I'm picking you up." So he picks me up, and he takes me to this church, and this guy comes out to speak. He's old. He's bald. He's old enough to be my dad. He's not cool like Lonnie with long hair. They called him Pastor Chuck Smith. And he starts to read from the Bible and teach, and it's like, it makes sense. I'm going, hey, that makes sense. Well, that's actually what I was just thinking. Hey, that's what I needed to know. And all of a sudden, I'm hearing the Word of God in a way I've never heard it before. So I'm back to the next night. I'm going every night of the week. I can't get enough. I'm just absorbing all of this information. And my life is changing. And my heart's starting to kind of burn. You see, I'm thinking, you know, I want to help other people like me come to Jesus. Well, I'm a cartoonist. You see, this is what I do. So I decide to illustrate one of the sermons I heard Pastor Chuck give the week before on the woman at the well, and he spoke about living water. So I drew a cartoon character with a big old hole in his heart and talked about how we all have a hole in our heart, but if we believe in Jesus, he'll give us living water. And I drew this, and I thought, I'm just going to go show this to Chuck Smith. I found out where he lived. Went over to his house, knocked on the door. Hi, Chuck, I'm Greg Laurie, and I just drew this cartoon strip and thought you might like to see it. He's like, oh. Oh my. And Chuck says he liked it and said, why don't we print this up in a little booklet form? And so I redrew it, and it became a little booklet that became known as the Living Water Track, and we handed them out on the streets. And when it was all said and done, there were like 3 million of those crazy little things that went out. And but I do remember when I led my first person to the Lord, it blew my mind. I was out on the beach at Huntington, and I was looking for someone to talk to about God because Chuck told us we should share our faith, and there was this lady just sitting there, and I remember I very nervously just read to her the contents of a little booklet I had, The Four Spiritual Laws from Campus Crusade for Christ, and as I read it to her, I'm thinking to myself, this isn't going to work. This lady isn't going to believe in Jesus. There's just no way that God could use someone like me. But as you get to the end of the booklet, there's a question it asks, and the question is there any good reason why you should not accept Jesus Christ right now? So I ask her that, and she says no, which meant she wanted to accept Jesus. And I looked at her, and I said, are you saying that you want to accept Jesus? And she said, yes. And I went, oh, no. What have I gotten myself into? So in the most reverent tone I could muster, I said, let's bow our head for a word of prayer. So she prays, and I'm frantically searching this booklet for a prayer to pray. I find it. I lead her in this prayer. And as I'm leading her in the prayer, I'm thinking, there's no way this is going to work. Well, you know what? After we were done praying, she said, something just happened to me. And I thought, yeah, something just happened to me too. Fast forward 10 years. I'm pastoring the church now, and I'm thinking about Oscar. I wonder if he's even still alive. So we had a girl in our church that worked for the Bar Association, and I said, hey, could you see if you could find a guy named Oscar Laurie? He would be somewhere in the East Coast. Oh, she found him immediately. And so I got his phone number, and I called his office. And the reason I called was because I was going to be back in New York speaking at Central Park, and I thought I might just pay him a visit and maybe tell him a little bit about my new life in Christ. So I called his office, and his secretary answered Oscar Laurie's office. I said, hello, is Mr. Laurie in? She said, no. And I said, well, would you tell him I called? She said, all right, what's your name? I said, Greg Laurie. She said, how do you spell that? I said, L-A-U-R-I-E, just like he spells his last name. This is his son. There's like a moment of silence. Okay, I'll get right back to you. And my dad calls me. He was so excited to hear from me. He says, Greg, I want to see you again. And I said, well, Dad, we'll just have, I said, Oscar, I think, at that point. We'll just have lunch, maybe. No, no, you have to come to our house and visit us. So I get off the train. That's like I went back in time. There's my dad again. He was older, but he looked pretty much the same. In no time at all, I was calling him Dad. And I found out that he heard about the life I was living, being tossed around, living here, living there, the crazy lifestyle I was in, and with my mom. And he had tried to get custody of me, but my mom had fought him tooth and nail. And another thing had happened to Oscar. He had had a severe heart attack and had just recently blacked out at the wheel of his car and had almost died. And so he was really glad, he said, to see me. And so that night we had dinner, and he married a very nice lady named Barbara, who was a great cook, and she made us a wonderful Italian meal. And afterwards she said, Greg, tell me your story of how you came to believe in Jesus. And so I'm telling Barbara how I came to faith in Christ. My dad's sitting on the other end of the table, and I just remember he had his hand kind of up to his face, sort of like both hands like this, listening. I felt like I was in a courtroom and he was the judge. And it wasn't going well. He was an academic, and here I am, this young preacher, telling him these things that I believe. And So he said to me that night, Greg, I need to take my walk every morning because of my heart condition. Will you walk with me? I said, yeah, Dad, I will. So the next morning, he knocks on the door of the room I'm staying in, and I stumble out. It's 6 o'clock New Jersey time, 3 o'clock California time, so I'm really tired. We're walking along, and the cold New Jersey air is there, and he turns to me and says, Greg, I listened very carefully to what you said last night. I said, yeah. He says, I want to accept Jesus Christ right now. Well, that'll wake you up faster than a double cappuccino, you know? And so I said, well, what we need to do is pray. He said, all right. And he drops to his knees. Well, I wasn't going to get on my knees. But here's my dad on his knees in the park. So I get down on my knees, and I put my arm around his shoulder, and I lead him in a prayer to accept Christ. And immediately after the prayer, he says, Jesus is just coming to my life, Greg. I know it. I'm sure of it. It's one of the most dramatic conversions I've ever seen. And then he said, let's pray that God will heal my heart now. I believe God will heal my heart. Now, Dad, calm down. Wait a second. We don't know if God... No, I believe he'll heal my heart. And okay, so we prayed for his heart. He says, I think I'm healed, Greg. Let's go tell my doctor. I'm like, Dad, I don't... So we walk over to his doctor's office. He's a nice Jewish gentleman. And in comes Oscar with his son, the preacher from Southern California, who he just prayed with, who led him to Jesus. And by the way, his heart is healed. Doctor says, now, Oscar, we need to run some tests on you. We don't know if you're better. Well, sure enough, God had touched his heart. He lived 15 more years. He's in heaven now. So, but then there was my mom. Is my mom ever going to come to Christ? Here I am preaching in crusades, and we're seeing all these people come to faith, and my own mother, at least that I can see, is not a Christian. And so I went and told her the story of Oscar. I thought that would really touch her heart. Mom, remember Oscar? Here's what happened. Told her the whole story. She said, that's nice. I said, well, what do you think about it? She said, I don't want to talk about it. That was my mom's standard reply to everything. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. Well, earlier on, not long after I'd become a Christian, my beautiful Marilyn Monroe look-alike mother had been out drinking. They had a little too much to drink and was behind the wheel of a car and went over the median of an intersection, had a head-on collision with another car, and almost killed herself. Her beauty was now seriously marred. It was no longer there. And as the years passed, all that rough living began to take its toll, the drinking, the partying. Her kidneys were failing. She had to get dialysis 3 times a week. My mom was miserable. She hated to be dependent on other people, and her heart began to soften just ever so slightly every time we saw her. So I went over to her house. She was alone, and I said, we need to talk about your relationship with God. She said, I don't want to talk about it. I said, you're going to talk about it. See, my mom ran from the Lord to the world, and I ran from the world to the Lord. And her view of Christianity was rules and regulations. And granted, according to my aunt, they were raised in a very strict Christian church that maybe had a few too many rules, and that didn't appeal to her, you see. So she ran from that. And what happens? Her own son becomes not only a Christian, but a stinking preacher. There was no escape for her. So I said, Mother, do you consider yourself a Christian? And much to my shock, she said, yes, I do. I said, what? You do? She said, yes, I do. I said, well, I was dumbfounded to hear this because I always thought of her as just a non-believer, never thought of her as someone who maybe believed and had been running from God. And I said, well, if you're a Christian, why don't you go to church? And so that Sunday, she showed up here at church. We were so excited about this change we were seeing in our life. I got her a TV with a little built-in DVD player, and I got her a bunch of Billy Graham DVDs and some Chuck Smith DVDs, and threw in a couple of her son too, you know. And I was just looking forward to having some wonderful years with my mom as a follower of Jesus. But then about a month later, she died unexpectedly. I was not the best son I could have been. And I have many regrets. There's a lot of things I wish I would have done more of. But I know that my mom came back to the God she had been running from for her whole life. The prodigal daughter had returned home again. I believe I'll see her again in heaven. And I believe she's found now what she was always looking for her entire life, in the presence of God, where there is fullness of joy, and on his right hand pleasures forevermore. You see, my life should have been a complete disaster. The deck was stacked against me in every way. I could have ended up in a lot of places, but God intervened in my life and changed it. And God can break in and change your story too, because the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is an altogether different kind of person. The old things have passed away. Behold, everything becomes fresh and new. In the Bible, there's a story of a young boy who was 17 when his brother sold him into slavery. His name was Joseph. Betrayed by his own flesh and blood, and then later accused falsely of rape. Everything came against Joseph. He had done nothing to deserve it. But through God's providence, Joseph became the second most powerful man in the world. And one day, his brothers, who had done this horrific thing to him, appeared before him. And he, with one word, could have had them all put to death. But instead, he saw his brothers, and his heart broke, and he began to weep, and he made this statement: "As far as I'm concerned, what you meant for evil, God has turned into good and brought me to where I am today so I can save the lives of many people." God can take bad things and turn them into good things. My grandmother, Mama Stella, she cooked everything from scratch. And she made these wonderful biscuits. And when I get to heaven, first thing, after I've worshipped Jesus for 3,000 years, okay? "Mama Stella, I need some biscuits." But I'd watch her make them. The ingredients weren't appealing in and of themselves: vegetable oil, self-rising flour, and of course, buttermilk. And in the same way, God takes the events of our lives, the good things, the so-called bad things, and puts them in the oven of adversity. And when it's all done, we say, "It's good." And here's what the Bible says in Psalm 139:16. "You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." Then Psalm 22, "I was thrust upon you at my birth. You've been my God from the moment I was born." See, I never had an earthly father. But one day I discovered I had a father in heaven. And David said, "Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up." My father, Oscar, once showed me our family crest for the Lori family, the family I was adopted into. It's an image of a stump that's been cut off and has a fresh growth coming out of it with the word Rapulalot, which means it buds afresh. And I remember when he showed that to me and I thought, that's my life. It was cut off. But God brought new growth out of it. And God can do that for you as well. Because you see, we're all in a search. We're just like that prodigal son. We're running from God. But I want you to know, the same Jesus that changed my life can change your life right now. Forget the past. Don't live in the past. Don't be crippled by the past. God had a plan for me, even though I was illegitimate. Because there are no illegitimate children in the eyes of God. He loves every single one of us.
Well, this is James Dobson again, and you've been listening to Pastor Greg Laurie as he told us of the miracle God did in his life. He had been out there running from the Lord, and I can't help but wonder if there are some people listening to us. Maybe you did not even intend to be tuned in to this program today, but you were, because maybe the Lord had something he wanted to say to you. If you turn your life to him, he will also make something beautiful and something good of your life, just as he did for Pastor Greg. Well, let me close by reminding you that Family Talk is a listener-supported organization. Summers are tough for us. They always are. They were last year, and they are this year, too. And we would appreciate your helping us financially if you are able. You can get in touch with us by contacting drjamesdobson.org or 877-732-6825. God bless you all, and have a good weekend. We'll see you Monday.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
Hi, I'm Dr. Tim Clinton for the James Dobson Family Institute. Who inspires you on matters of faith, family, and culture? If you don't already get it, sign up for Dr. Dobson's monthly newsletter at drjamesdobson.org. Each month, you're going to receive insight and news that impacts your family and solid advice that you can trust. Whether it's wisdom for parents, tips for building a lasting marriage, or discernment on issues your family may be facing, you're going to find direction, encouragement, and more every month. Visit drjamesdobson.org and sign up for that monthly newsletter today.